We're in Joshua chapter 4, and we resume our study in verse 6. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's begin reading in verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every man a tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What mean you by these stones?'" So let's just stop there for a second. The stones were to be a memorial for future generations who had not experienced the miraculous parting of the Jordan River. Verse 7, "Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." There's nothing wrong with monuments and memorials, as long as they serve as reminders of God and do not become objects of worship, which sometimes happens. 8. "And the children of Israel did so, as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there." They did not take more or less than 12. And they didn't take them from someplace other than where God told them. And so they did as the Lord had told Joshua. And we see that so far, anyway, Joshua is off to a good start as their leader. And that's because he's obeying God and the people are obeying him. And as long as that keeps happening, everything's going to be great. Verse 9, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day." The stone monument. That stone monument was there when Joshua wrote this book, probably 70 years after they were set up. And actually, according to Jewish history, they were still there 1,500 years later when John the Baptist was in that area doing his baptizing. 10. "For the priest which bore the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over." The people trusted God, or they never would have entered the riverbed in the first place, but they didn't dawdle through the riverbed either. Just because God parted the river doesn't mean that they can horse around in the riverbed taking their time. It was all business until they got across. There's a fine line between faith and presumption. 11. "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people." And so after all the people crossed safely, then the priest, who carried the ark representing God's presence, came all the way across as well. It was as if God was in the riverbed, acting like a traffic cop, holding back the water to give his people the right of way. 12. "And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spoke to them." And again, you know, God mentions this many times, But these 2.5 tribes were given their land east of the Jordan River. But before they settled in, they crossed with the others to help them take the land west of the Jordan. 13. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord to battle to the plains of Jericho. The 2.5 tribes contributed 40,000 soldiers to Israel's cause. 14. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. So from that day on, the Israelites were in awe of Joshua, their leader. It was clear that the Lord was working through him just as he had worked through Moses, and so he could be trusted to lead. Verse 15, and the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, and so we see that on the day Joshua gained the confidence of the people, God tells him something. What did he say? Verse 16, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. Notice that the ark of the covenant is here called the ark of the testimony. The words covenant and the testimony both refer to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were God's covenant. They were God's contract between him and his Old Testament people. And they are also his testimony of his will for them and for us. And someone says, well, I wonder what God's will for me is. You know, I'm searching for God's will. People are always searching for God's will. Well, you don't have to wonder. He has testified concerning his will for you. He has testified that the commandments are his will for you. So follow them, and the rest of his will for you will fall into place. Look at verse 17. Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come up out of the Jordan. And here's why God exalted Joshua in the sight of Israel. You see it right here. As leader of Israel, Joshua was an obedient servant of God. He commanded the priest as God told him to. And to be a good leader of people, you must be a good servant of God. 18. And it came to pass, when the priests that bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up to the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all its bank as they did before. The water upriver that had been standing upright like an invisible dam started flowing the second the presence of God in the ark reached the shore. Verse 19, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. You know that it was exactly 5 days short of 40 years from the day they left Egypt until the day they stepped into the promised land. Verse 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. When God does something miraculous, it should be remembered. When God answers a prayer so specifically, it should be remembered. And that's what these 12 stones taken from the middle of the riverbed were for. They memorialize the dividing of the Jordan River. They memorialized the great works of God. 21. And he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? And they will. Future generations will wonder, why is that pile of stones down by the Jordan River? Who did that? And what was the purpose? 22, then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. In other words, tell them what these stones are about. Tell them. Future generations were not fortunate enough to see the actual miracle, so they need to experience that thing through the eyewitness testimony of those who did. 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Future generations must be told that God dried the river for his people. In other words, if it wasn't for that big miracle, their generation wouldn't be enjoying life in the promised land, because they never would have been in there. 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. God didn't have to do a miracle to get them in. By his providence, he could have dried that river up 100 years earlier. He could have just turned it into an old dried up riverbed. He could have done things that way. And most of the time he does work through his providence, but he chose to do a miracle so that Israel and the rest of us who read about it would know how strong he is and how he can do anything he wants to make sure that his people get what he wants them to have. Let's go into chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. I just love this verse. The people of the land saw how God separated the Jordan River for Israel, and they're thinking, oh no. The God of Israel is doing it again. He parted the Red Sea 40 years earlier, and now this. And so like water draining from your sink, their courage drained from their soul. Verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskin. So circumcision, as you may know, was the outward sign of an Israelite's relationship with God. Circumcision was symbolic of the fact that they were separated unto God. It had been neglected, however, for 40 years. It was supposed to be done to every newborn baby boy when they were 8 years old. They had neglected to do it for the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness, but now that they're entering a land filled with heathens, it is more important than ever to have that sign that they were different, that they were God's people. Verse 4. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt, that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. So the adults who left Egypt all died before they reached the Holy Land, just as God said would happen as a judgment, because they would not believe the Lord and go in and take that land that he promised to give them 40 years earlier.